Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Yes. Yeah, sound good, guys. How many of y'all ready for a word? Raise your hand if you want a word. Look at your neighbor's side, I need a word. Thank you, guys. I want to talk about commitment to God and just commitment. You ever seen a dead possum or something in the middle of the road? Raise your hand if you've seen a dead animal. That was an animal that was partially committed. You know, do I go? Do I not go? Do I go? And so when you make a decision and you make commitment, you got to make that commitment. And the more committed you are, the greater success that you'll have in your life. If you're a cheerleader, you should be committed, be committed. So you can't be partially committed. And I watch, you know, especially here in St. Louis, we got, you know, Cardinals. How many of y'all are fans of the Cardinals, you know? You got big fans, little fans. And I was recently at P.F. Chang's eating, and somebody had a card shirt on or whatever, and they said, I said, are you a fan, Cardinals fan? Obviously, you're a Cardinals fan. They said, right now I'm not, because they weren't winning, you know, something. It was a couple years ago. Oh, you know, right now I'm not. And it made me think about the fact that sometimes people really are only committed are they're what they call fair weather fans. So when it comes to being a Christian, you have to say, hey, I'm not only a fan of Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what he's looking for. And so you got to be committed. Shout it with me at every campus. Be committed. Be committed. One more time. What? Be committed. You know, there's a thing that people use these days called DTR, and that means define the relationship. So, you know, you go out with a girl for a while. And she's like, hey, you know, girls, by the way, guys don't know this about girls, but girls start writing your last name behind their last name on the second or the third date to see how it sounds. And I know this because people have told me I'm not marrying you just because nothing sounds good with Crank. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm saying? But they do. They say, hey, girls, am I lying or what? I mean, like you definitely, before you married the guy, you definitely started writing your name and their name together, right? Raise your hand if you've done this, right? So girls are all about, hey, where are we at? Define the relationship. And of course, sometimes people are, well, I'm just partly committed. I remember Nicole, the guy she's dating before me. Thank God she waited because God really, you know, blessed me. But she said that she was dating the guy for a year. And then after a year of dating, she said something about marriage. And he said, oh, I'm never getting married. And she said, what? You told a single mother, what? You told a single mom, what? And then within a few days, she was on to the races. She moved off because commitment is a big deal. Being committed. Everybody shout, being committed. Oftentimes, I say, if you're not committed, you'll be committed. Because you're partially committed, you have to decide, look, because I'm going to define the relationship. And this weekend, I want to talk just a little bit about defining the relationship with God. And some of you might be your first time at church or watching online. And certainly, God does not require of us perfection, because none of us would be perfect. Even when we think we're having a good day, God's like, oh, you think you measured up? Because we don't measure up. But commitment really does matter. Everybody shout it with me. Commitment matters. So the more committed you are to God, no matter what, even when you're not feeling right, like you feel condemned. Anybody ever had days that you're like, maybe we'll do it with weight loss, you do this. Anybody ever been, you ate good for 4 or 5 days, you lost some weight, and then you were judgmental, you'd see somebody with McDonald's, and you're like, what a loser, right? I mean, look at me. I'm especially vegans, they'll tell you all the time, if you're ever a vegan, you're gonna hear, if they're a vegan, you're gonna hear they're a vegan a lot of times. I'm pescatarian. Well, I'm meatitarian myself, somebody, okay? So I chow on that. But you say, oh, man, I'm doing good. And then have you ever got off the wagon? How many of y'all off the wagon right now, right? Like, I don't even know where the wagon's at, okay? And so you start saying, man, I'm not measuring up, or I didn't lose the weight, or just forget it. I'm going to throw it all to the wind. And nothing could be worse, not only for your health, but your self-image. Nothing could be worse, really, for this relationship that you have with God. And so when you make this mistake, what you're doing is you're defining the relationship with God thinking that you don't measure up, that you're not good enough. We never have to measure up to be good enough because we'll never be good enough. when you do get to heaven some days, you're going to be surprised who's not there. And you're really going to surprise who's there. You're like, I would never thought you'd been. What are you doing here? You may want to slip through the cracks, right? It's like, no. But you never know at the last milliseconds of time when somebody called upon the name of the Lord, and the Bible said he called upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That's why at funerals, I don't like doing funerals, but when I was a worship pastor for my dad and a pilot for my father, I had to do all the funerals because he said, I don't marry and I don't bury. So that's all I did. I had to do the funerals. And so many times I've stood beside the casket and people would be crying, oh, Bob, there's no way Bob went to heaven. You know, Bob's in hell. Like, I don't know Bob. But I don't know that you know that because you don't know what Bob knew down deep in his heart. And I've heard about, anybody ever like watched, you know, a television show or something and there was somebody who actually went to heaven, lived to tell about it, came back, and sometimes they'll report back people that are there and you're like, no, not Elvis, no way. Elvis the pelvis, okay? So I know this is far out for you, but all I do know for sure is when you get to heaven, you're probably really going to be surprised. In fact, you might not be surprised, but I promise you there will be people that see you that'll be surprised. Come on, you see what I'm saying right now? So here's the deal. Being committed is not like, man, I'm committed because I did right. I'm committed because I was good. No, it's not based on a feeling. It's based on a fact that Jesus wasn't partially committed when he went to the cross and he died for us and he defined the relationship and say, hey, if it was just you, I'd die for you. Now I want to let you know, I love all of our churches. I love all the people that go to our church. I just love everybody. I just do. But there's only so many people that I'd die for. You say, am I on the list? I don't know. I'd have to talk to you to figure out if you're on the list. But I can tell you some people that are definitely on the list. My little grandson, he's 3. By the way, he's suspended Monday. He's going to spend the day with me because he got suspended from school on Friday for he got in a fight with some kid and he took a chair and he come up and he clocked the guy with the chair. And so I said, listen, they said, what are you going to do? You know, I said, you know, he's going to come be with me on Monday because, you know, he needs to be around a pastor. Come on, somebody. He's acting like his grandmother if you don't know the truth. I didn't mean it. Okay. But at 3, this shouldn't define him, although his mama did say, I wonder, you know, if we check the family tree, who was the youngest person to ever be suspended from school? I think he holds the record at 3. How many of y'all know 3's pretty, come on, raise your hand, right? 3's pretty impressive. But we're not going to think that later in life and look at him and go, he can't be a pastor. If he chooses to be a pastor, and I believe he will, especially with all the venom that he's got or vigor that he's got. I'm not sure what he's got. But I do know we're not going to look at him and go, man, isn't he the little guy that got suspended when he was 3 years old? Because we all do stupid stuff. But I would die for him, and I might not die for some people, but I know I'd die for him because he goes, oh, Papa. Right? Your love for your kids and your love for your grandkids is pales in comparison to God's love for you. He loves you so much that he actually sent his only son. He had one son. He sent him to the cross of Calvary. That's how committed he was to you. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. Every campus today. Is this good or what? Now, Luke 14. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and he invited many. Now, this is Jesus speaking in his sermon. He sent a servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are ready now. But they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first one said, hey, I bought a new piece of ground. I got to fix it all up. I got to go check on that. Yeah, may I be excused? Another one said, hey, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, or I just bought a new Lexus. I got to go check it out. I got to see if it really is bullet. You know, I'm going to test it out. That's my excuse. Still another said, I got married, and me and my wife, you know, we can't come. We, you know what I'm saying right now? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. The nurseries are full, you perverts. Acting like I'm the weird one here today. So the servant came and reported, and he said, hey, master, this is what happened. And the master of the house was angry, and he said to the servant, check this out, go quickly into the streets and the lanes in the city and bring here the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. That's us. And the servant said, master, it'll be done as you've commanded. And it has been done as you commanded, and there's still room. Everybody shout, there's still room. Then the master said to the servant, go out of the highways and byways and compel them to come in that my house may be full. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste of the supper. Now there was great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, he needs to be really committed. When he says hate there, he doesn't mean like hate him. He means your love for God needs to be so strong that compared to his love for your family, it actually looks like hate. There's just such a difference. There's such a gap. There's such a delta that it looks almost like hate. Now again, we can't love the Lord with our own might, our own strength, but the more we get around God, that song I sang earlier, great is thy faithfulness, his faithfulness is great. He's been faithful to me, and I haven't been faithful to him. I've told God, and I'm going to poll this. Has anybody ever promised God, if you forgive me this time, I'll never do it again? Have you ever did it again? Don't go to hell today. Come on, raise your hand. Have you ever did it again? Have you actually done it so many times you're like, I'm embarrassed to even tell him about this again because I think I'm going to do it again. Who are you? Yeah, I thought so. I know you're just like me. Man, I don't want to bring it up again. I'm embarrassed to talk about it. But it says that his grace is sufficient for us. So when we get saved, we get born again, we get water baptized, what we're doing is we're getting rid of the old man as far as the way we think. And then we start renewing our mind. We go to church and we renew our mind. But our physical life doesn't change, but our mind starts changing. And I love this statement. If you're a note taker, you should write it down. Where the mind goes, the man follows. Where the mind goes, the man follows. Have you ever thought about a new car? And then you went, to the car lot and you started looking at new cars because, you're going to outsmart them and you're going to go let the kids play in the bounce houses and get a free hot dog. And that's a huge mistake. Because once you smell that new car smell, anybody ever smell the new car smell right now? And you bought that car, and then you swore you would never eat in that car. Come on, raise your hand. We're not eating in this car. Anybody ever smell? We're not eating this car. And in every car on our parking lot, there's a chicken nugget laying under a seat somewhere. Because we make these commitments and we make these bold, audacious, hey, here's what I'm going to do. And we mean it at the time. I'm going to lose the weight. We're not eating in the car. I'm not going to do it again. And Paul said, St. Paul, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, the thing I don't want to do, I do. And the thing I want to do, I don't do. I can't figure this out. Well, what it is our flesh. Our flesh is a liar. At 3 years old, it picks up a chair and hits people. I don't even know where he's seen this demonstrated. It's like, what in the world is he seeing? Watching WWEF? I don't know. He's just like, but something in him made him mad. And at 3 years old, he rose up. He can't be. Man, something happened in my childhood. He's in it. But there's just something you're born with. Nobody teaches you to lie, but you come from the factory knowing how to lie. You're doing a great job over here. Anybody else going to vote with me on this? You're just a liar. You just lie. You don't want to lie, but we do. It's our sinful nature. And so God said, hey, whatever you do, if you really want to be a follower of me, I want you to DTR this. Let's determine the relationship and say, hey, as for me, I'm going to follow God when I feel like it, when I don't feel like it. I'm going to go to church when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. And eventually, the feelings follow. Feelings follow. Everybody shout, the feelings follow. So God's not so much concerned about your sin as much as he is your commitment. Because your sin's already been dealt with 2,000 years ago. And a lot of you today, and maybe at all of our campuses, we're baptized, except at the high school because we don't own that building. But we're all Palm today and Earth City and Ferguson and all y'all can actually spontaneously get baptized. Actually, I had them bring this up here because this ball is in a bunch of dirt. Let's check this out here. See this here? This is dirt. It's dirty. By the way, this is where God made man. He formed woman out of the flesh of man, but he made man out of the dirt. And I tell my wife that's why guys are so dirty. Just bring junk in the house all the time. But this thing is nasty. So this represents us in our life, and what water baptism does is now we say, hey, I'm committed to God. And so what we're doing is we're saying, how receive Jesus. We don't achieve him. We receive him. So now we receive Jesus. Now the next step in your commitment level is to go public with your faith. That's why you invited some of your friends maybe this weekend is to go public. And then what they're doing is they're identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So the death is when I say I'm surrendering my life to you, and the burial is when it goes down in the water. Now all of a sudden you're down there. In fact, some of you, we've actually got emails to say to hold you under a little longer this week. But now when you come up out of the water, you're brand new. You're clean again. So the only thing that's dirty is the water. But you're now clean through the washing of the water of the Word. And how do you stay clean? The best way to stay clean is stay out of the mud. Now, we can jump right back in the mud again, just like that, and go back to our old ways, doing the things we do, hang out with the wrong people. That's why we're always talking about groups. Why do you want me in groups? I want you to do the thing that you love to do, but I want you to do it with new people. Because here's what I've found about most problems in life. If you go back to the same people, I always say this, show me your friends, you'll show you your future. So if you go back to hanging out with them, especially under the guise of, I'm going to witness to them, I'm going to get them saved, the chances are you're probably going to get drunk again. So it's going to happen. Because if I know me and I know you, things trigger us and we go back. Because there's no organ. You're at church, you feel, oh, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, I love you. It was so amazing. And you feel so strong. But then you got Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday night, Jimmy Buffett said, is so close to Sunday morning. And so you go out and your flesh gets dirty again. But thank God for the blood of Jesus, because once we are forgiven and we've been baptized, now we just talk to God and we come in for praise and worship, and now we start getting ourselves recalibrated. And it doesn't mean that we will never get muddy again. It means that we have been forgiven. We are destined for heaven to be our home. And now we're not looking at us and our filthy rags. We're saying, hey, I'm not just a fan of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I even follow Jesus when I'm not right. My grandfather, Florida, you don't know anything about this, but there's a union here called the Teamsters Union, and my grandfather worked for the Teamsters. And he's married to, obviously, my grandmother, and they really didn't get along. They loved each other, but they didn't like each other. Anybody ever seen these people on Springer or anything like that? It's like, I love you, but I don't like you. So therefore, his commitment was a bit challenged. And he had made a mistake. He had done something that he shouldn't do. And it surfaced and it came to light. And it really, really, really messed him up for a long time. Because he was looking at and feeling the weight of what he did wrong. And what he did wrong, he did wrong. And he should have felt bad for doing wrong. But you can't feel bad forever. At some point, you got to go, hey, and people do this. God does not do this. There's the kicker. God's so committed to you that when you do the sin and you tell Jesus about the sin, that's not when he found out about it. He found out about it when you were DMing. We'll try it back over here. He found out about it when y'all ain't seen each other in 20 years, but then Facebook come along, and then a high school reunion came along, and now y'all meeting somewhere. Yeah, I got quiet. And that's when it started. And that's you inadvertently entertain it, and then it starts snowballing, and then obviously it gets out of hand. But he felt bad. But when we sin, most of the time we think, hey, that's a 3-day sin. Oh, I did this. Hey, I took a chair, hit a guy over the head with it. That's definitely a 3 to 7 day. The school thinks 1 school day if he's with his grandfather. So they have all these rules on how many days you're penalized, how many days you're in prison, house arrest, paroled. And so, but in your mind, everybody has a mind. Raise your hand if you got a mind. Raise your hand really high if it's bigger than the mind next to you. Raise your hand if it's really big. How many like me, and you've given away a lot of pieces of your mind. You're not even sure how many pieces you got left. Okay, so here we are, and now in our mind, we think, man, we're dirty. So now that we're dirty and we made a mistake, we're going to hide it. We don't want to talk about it. Here's the good news, too, and a lot of Catholics at our church. I love Catholic people. It's committed to God, love the Lord. But there's this misnomer. In fact, I was with some friends this last week, and their son asked me, he's a teenager, because they're Catholic, can I confess to you? And I said, let me explain this to you. You don't have to confess to a man. Because the man that you're confessing to is probably got some issues as well, because he's a man. And so what you need to do is you can come to the high priest, bypass the man, go directly to Jesus, and then he cleanses you, and then you don't have to worry about your stories getting out to the man. Because have you ever had times, I know I'm asking a lot of you guys today voting, have you ever had times that you were just glad that only you and God knew? I want you to raise your hand, or I pray that God tells me what it is you did so I can tell everybody. Let's try that one more time. Have you ever been there and thought, thank God, just me and God? No. It's good. A couple of people still got their hands up there. Don't tell him. Listen, God's committed, so he wants us to be a follower because he's given us so much. Jesus gave his whole life. So now, what we need to do is say, hey, how do I come alongside and get around some people that can help me make the right decision? Because my grandfather felt so bad that he said, I'm not going to church anymore. And I remember this. I was about 13, and he told me this story, what he did and how he felt bad. He was an older guy at this point. He said, I remember going to church. I didn't feel God. But he said, I just decided I was going to go anyway. He's lived in the Boot Hill, Sykeston, Missouri, Dexter area. And he said, you know what? I didn't even have a truck right then. My truck was broke down, this is going to really make me look bad. My grandfather said, I just drove my tractor. Come on now. He drove his little tractor. It's not a big tractor. It's just like a little Sears tractor. He drove his tractor to church in the parking lot. And he said, I just kept going. And he said, when people raised their hands, I just raised my hands. And he said, when people sang, I just sang. And I just did what people were doing. And then he just started bawling. He said, but then last Sunday I went, and he said, I could feel God again, and I felt him again, and it just felt so good, and he's turned again. And I was 13 going, wow, that's a lot. Whoa, you might need help. But I never forgot it. Because sin had taken him someplace that he felt really dirty. He felt really bad. Now, here's my question that I got for you. Do you think that he could have felt God day one? So it's not God's distancing himself from us. It's us, church, distancing himself from God. And the first thing the devil's going to do is try. First of all, people say, do you believe in the devil? I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that, stupid. Okay, so hear me out. The devil is real, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So what's he doing? He's trying to destroy your relationship with God. My daughter got her hair done this week, and, you know, it's all her hair, but some of the hair is purchased. Some of y'all don't know about this right now. It sucks to be the daughter of a pastor or a grandson. If you throw a chair, we're talking about it, okay? She said she was talking to the people at the beauty shop, and they didn't really know, you know, what she did or who she was and whatnot. And then the person started talking about a problem, talking about an issue, and then she started talking about, hey, I just talked to God. She said, you can do that? You know, how do you talk to God? She said, I just talked to God like I talk to anybody else. My slang, whatever. See, people think they got to be like, our most gracious heavenly Father that liveth and abideth forevermore. Hallowed be thy name. Listen up. Try it again. No. He was listening to you a minute ago when you're on the phone. He was listening to you while you're texting. So you could just text God. Just text him. Make up a number and start texting. God, I'm sorry for what I did. Blah, blah. And whoever gets that is going to be like, wow. This is juicy. By the way, anybody else get random texts from people that you don't know? Oh, my gosh, who are you? You're in my phone. But no, it's not me. No, I believe it is you. No, it's not. Anybody else? It's just me? A lot of people from Kenya, all over the world. I mean, everybody, they just text me. They're like, who in the world? The devil will do that to you. He'll send you messages saying you're no good, you're not going to make it, you're not clean, you're not holy. And you say, oh yeah, you got me right. I'm not holy, but Jesus is holy. He's my kinsman redeemer. He was committed to me. And when he, come on, Florida, somebody at Earth City ought to get excited about this right now. What God is doing, when he calls a supper, remember we read it? He calls a supper, you got to show up. You say, well, if God called me for supper, I would show up. That's what he does on Sunday. That's what he does on Saturday. That's what he does on Tuesday. If you're a real follower of God, you come to the house of God, and it begins to clean you up. And you can feel God even if you don't feel right. A couple more scriptures before we go. Matthew 8:18, it says, and when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And it's not the misnomer of God was poor and he didn't have anywhere to lay. He was an evangelist. He was moving around. He was saying, I'm a mover, baby. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me. Shout it at every campus. What did he say? Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. When Jesus wanted commitment out of this guy, he said, hey, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be committed. But I got some other things to do first. I found this about life, that we all plan to do better tomorrow. And we would if we'd start today. So we plan to do better tomorrow, and we would if we start today. So we say, hey, you know, I see people, I'm going to get in the ministry when I graduate, when I build a business, when I sell it. No, or whatever it is that God called you to do. You can't wait till tomorrow to get on it. That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, if you're going to be a follower of me, be a follower of me. He said, you don't have to be perfect, but the one thing you got to do, when I went to Mary Nicole, she said, here's the deal. You got to stop dating. I was like, man, really? Got to stop dating. She didn't want partial commitment. She said, I want total commitment. Some of y'all looking confused about this right now. There's not like, hey, you know what? We're committed 300 days a year. 65 days, it's kind of, you know, free time. No, not God, not with Nicole. When I said I do, she said, till death do us part. And then she looked at me and said, that means I'll kill you. And from the tempers of her grandson, I believe her. Y'all follow me? Okay. So God is that way. He said, hey, I want commitment. I've been committed to you. Now, the world today that we live in, and that sounds really fuddy-duddy and old, but how many of y'all think that the world has really gotten really weird in the last few years? If you didn't raise your hand, you're with the weird people. Let's try it one more time. I think that we're getting really weird. And we're sharing bathrooms with people. We're doing some cray cray stuff, man. It's crazy. What? So now Jesus knew this. He said in the last days, there's going to be perilous times. He actually said, times hard to deal with. But he said, hey, believe in me. He said, I've gone away to prepare a mansion. We talked about that earlier. He said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. But he said, while you're here, see to it, this is the key, see to it that your heart is not troubled. So we get so overwhelmed with the problems of life and what's going on in the world, and your politics play into all that, and you're, man, I wish this one was in, and my savior is this one, and my savior is that one. Listen, you don't really need a president as much as you need a king. And the king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's Jesus. And if you do right with him, let everything else around you shake out in the end. Because here's what's going to happen. After COVID happened, you're still alive. You made it through Y2K. Remember that? Bird flu, Hong Kong flu, swine flu. Just everything in the world, and you're still here. Raise your hand at all campuses. You're still alive right now. You're here. Okay, so guess what? The same thing's going to happen. God's going to take care of you because he is committed to you. I got a little video I want to play because somebody sent it to me this week, and I thought it was hilarious. This guy's a photographer, and this is how committed you need to be. Check this little TikTok out. He's like, Still got the picture. How y'all know that is committed? He knew I'm here for that. I would have still been running while I was checking my drawers. Come on, somebody. He's like, I got a problem. Be committed. But that's what happens a lot. Sin comes that way. Trouble comes that way. Problems come that way. And you got to go, hey, the Bible said this. As for me and my house, we need to serve the Lord. So that's what Jesus was saying. He said, hey, it's important that you are committed. Following the rules is important, however, not the priority. God's got a whole list of things that says, hey, don't do that. Not a good idea. The wages of sin is death. The paycheck of sin is death. He tells us all kinds of things in the Bible. If we read the book of Proverbs, it says, don't do this. Like, even little stuff. It's like, don't co-sign for other people. Raise your hand if you've co-signed for other people. It says, if you co-sign for other people, they probably won't pay, and they'll come take your bed. In other words, they're going to come repo your stuff from your house. It's all, I know you didn't think it's in the Bible. It's all in there. It doesn't mean you go to heaven or hell. It just means, hey, God's like, I want you to sleep in the bed. The whole Bible is chock full of good information. And as you're committed to God and the things of God, and you're saying, hey, I'm moving forward with the Lord, what it does is it cleans you up. First on the inside, and then on the inside, it starts working out on the outside. Everybody shout amen to that.
Amen.
Let's all stand. And I want us to make some confessions this weekend. Some of you are here for the first time because you're watching a friend or family member get baptized. I'm glad you came today. And hopefully you found some things that are beneficial that you can apply to your life. And for one, at some point in your life, you could be like some of these people and say, hey, I'm ready to get back in church. I found so many times where people would come up to me out and about and say, hey, you know, I watch you on television or see your ministry, and haven't went to church in a long time, didn't want to ever go back to church, but you're making me think different about it. So I'm laughing, having fun. And that's my prayer for you, is to realize that some church people don't represent God. And I think that our God is a loving God, a gracious God, the God I serve. He's not pointing the finger at you this way, he's pointing the finger at you this way. And he's so committed to us. He's overly committed to us. In fact, my daughter-in-law, who's having another baby in Palm Beach this next week, she told me when she was FaceTiming me about Liam and what he did. She said, I asked the teacher, how did you, watch this, couldn't be Liam. She said, how did you allow this to escalate to this level? And I just started laughing because I thought, that's a good way to just pass the buck, right? How did you allow it to? It couldn't be Liam. He didn't do that here at the house. In fact, why are you calling me? We never call you when we got a problem with them here at the house. But God does that with you and I. Because he sees you and I through the blood of Jesus and those blood-stained glasses of what Jesus did, you can be forgiven. And I know you might have been raped, you might have been molested, you hurt, lied, betrayed, whatever it is. I don't know, but I know that everybody in all of our campuses today, everybody's been through something. And you went through it. And God was there the whole time saying, hey, maybe warning a family member, maybe warning you. I don't know, but I do know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And so now, like Ashton told the barbershop, you know, the salon, whatever it was you went, hey, just talk to God. Just have communication with God. Even if you're not saved yet, I didn't pray that prayer today. I'm not ready to make that commitment. Just start talking to God. Start dating God. Start talking to him. And it won't be long until you'll start saying, oh, that's the Lord, and that's the Lord. And then before long, you'll be singing, great is thy faithfulness, because he'll be faithful unto you. Every head bowed and every eye closed at every campus today, I want you to raise your hand if you say, Pastor David, I skipped that prayer with the campus pastors, but I want you to pray that prayer with me today. I want to make heaven my home. I want to get right with God. It makes sense to me. Raise your hand. I will not call you down. I will not call you out, but raise your hand real quick at every campus. Come on, put it up real fast. You want to? I see them all over every campus. You can put it down. It doesn't matter if man saw it. It matters if you and God saw it, and he did. And everybody's going to pray this prayer together today. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. And from this moment forward, I'm going to live for you. Heaven is now my home. I've been forgiven. And I'm going to go to your house, and I'm going to read your book. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand for all those people at every campus getting saved.